Good morning to all of you. And it's so lovely to see familiar faces here. And also some of you who are regulars and new ones, especially the new ones, thank you for coming. Our hearts and our prayer is that you will not go away empty-handed or, you will be lifted up. The Lord Jesus will lift up your countenance and give you peace. Together, my wife joins me in greeting you. She just returned from San Francisco after 2 months of apostolic duty. You know, here in Cebu, apo means grandchildren. And so my wife was there to look after the grandchildren, which all of you know that's apostolic duty. And also the church back home in Singapore, the Thompson Road Baptist Church, send their greetings to you. And with me is a couple from that church. May I ask you to join me to welcome them, Jason and Pauline, all right? Yeah, thank you. Today we want to take a look at God's Word. I think let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. There are 7 verses in chapter 4, verses 30, verse 35 to 41. Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, which means there are 7 verses. If I were to take one verse a minute, 7 minutes, this service will be over. All of you are smiling. However, if for each verse I take 7 minutes, we need 49 minutes. Very few of you are smiling. Okay, all right, I know where I stand now. Keep sermon short. Okay, let's start with the slide. The title of the sermon is Fearless Faith. Fearless Faith. I'll explain that later on, why I entitled this passage Fearless Faith. Let's begin with the introduction, all right? As we look at this passage, let's read it. It's always good to read the Word of God, first of all, for the Word of God is milk for the baby, meat for the mature, and certainly a light in for the footsteps of the traveler in this world. And so, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, let's begin. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Also, may God add his blessing in the reading of the word and in the contemplation of the words and its relevance to us this morning. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for each one of us here and especially for the newcomers. We ask for your special blessing, peace, grace, and love upon them. Thank you, Father, for our nation, for our president, the senators, the representatives, the governors, the mayors, and those who are in the armed forces, those who are upholding justice, the judges, and also those who keep the peace, the police force. Thank you for the Air Force. Thank you for the Navy. They all are people who have the calling to defend the country, protect us. We pray for your special wisdom upon the government, Lord, that they will rule with a sense of justice, righteousness, humility, compassion for the people. Reward them for their labor of love and their leadership. Continue to guide this nation in her affairs with neighboring nations so that there will be peace. God, we pray especially for the peace in Jerusalem. May your grace be upon this chosen nation, that she may have the wisdom to know how to love their enemies, as you have commanded. Grant to all of us now your blessing as we turn to your word again. May you bless not only us, but the families we represent, some who are away, some who are not just geographically away in other countries or in other provinces, but away from you, O God. And we pray, God, in your grace and mercy, you will bring them into your kingdom, that they will come from the kingdom of darkness and enter your kingdom of light. We pray for your blessings upon loved ones, young and old. We pray for those of us who need your healing touch. We ask for your healing power at this time for those who may need physical well-being. But above all, God, we pray for spiritual well-being. The health that we have may be the health that is within springing up because of your love for us. So we commit ourselves to you this morning, Father in heaven, thanking you for the inexpressible privilege of worshiping you through the study of your word. Thank you in Jesus' name, the living word. Amen. What a powerful passage, really, as you look at this. It is about a storm which Jesus and especially the disciples face. And it's about what Jesus said to them when he woke up, about what he said to the wind and the waves. What is the meaning of what this passage is trying to tell us? What is Mark's intention? Let's just take a look. In the first place, I'd like to give you the outline. I think an outline helps. It's like having a map when you're traveling in a country. And you will find that first there's a sailing into the storm, right? Jesus said, get into the boat. Let's go down to the other side where there is some quietness that we can rest. But as they got into the boat, they met a storm. Jesus was sleeping in the stern, normally where the captain is, and he was sleeping in spite of the storm. Quite amazing, really. But not so when you take the context, because the whole day had been very intense, very, very stressful for him. He was teaching, as you see from Mark chapter 4, verse 1. He was in the morning, he was teaching by the sea, and the crowd was so big that he had to get into a boat. And then verse 35 tells us that in the evening, when the evening came, that means the whole day he had been teaching, he would then say to the disciples, get into the boat, let's go to the other side. And so he fell asleep the moment the boat set sail. It just tells us about the humanity of Jesus. He is not just only God, fully God, but he is also fully man. Here he is, extremely tired, and fell asleep. Then the second part, the third part, shaking in a storm. And you know who was shaking, right? The disciples. They were scared by the storm. And finally, Jesus woke up in his authoritative way. He caused the wave to cease, the wind to stop howling, and there was a very powerful calm. He stilled the storm, the wind and the waves. So we have that outline to guide us, but let's take it step by step, sailing into the storm. How did it happen? Well, it was a very natural storm. Those who are familiar with the geography of the area, you will realize that the Sea of Galilee, which has a very beautiful name, another name, Lake Kinneret. Kinneret is a Greek word for the harp. You know the harp? David plays the harp, right? You look at the shape of the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, is a freshwater lake, where you have lots of fish called the tilapia, very popular here in the Philippines, okay? Tilapia. And there's still that kind of fish after centuries of fishing still in that lake. Part of it is because as the River Jordan flowed down from Mount Hermon and came towards the lake, there is a hot spring. And the sulfur and the minerals from the hot spring mixed with the cold water from Mount Hermon provided a lot of nutrients for the fish, and plentiful fish in the Sea of Galilee throughout the centuries. But the Sea of Galilee is some 600 feet below sea level. As the water poured into the Sea of Galilee and went further down out to the south of the lake toward the Dead Sea, by the time it reaches the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea, the biblical name is the Salt Sea or the Eastern Sea. In fact, God's word never called it the Dead Sea for the simple reason God is God of the living. He never created anything dead. It is only man who call that sea Dead Sea because it's so what you call saltish. Very few living things could survive in that saltishness. In fact, it's a beautiful experience to be in the salt sea and to float. You will never drown. Anybody who drowns in the salt sea, it is a miracle. It is something that should never happen. But, you know, that is a beautiful experience. Now, so that's 1,500 feet below sea level. 600 when you got down to the salt sea, another 900 difference. Now the Sea of Galilee, because it's surrounded by highlands, mountains, especially the north, the Golan Heights, when the wind blows down from that north side into the sea, a sudden squall, a sudden storm can whip that Sea of Galilee into a frenzied storm. You can see how, imagine the wind going down the slope of Golan Heights and into the sea, impact the surface of the water and whip it up into huge waves, which according to the account here, almost swamped the boat. I'm sure you recall the experience of riding on a bicycle, going down a hill or going down a slope, and you can feel the wind blowing on your face, right? So similarly, when the wind came down to the lake, that lake was whipped up into a storm. That was what the disciples experienced. But though it was a natural storm, the disciples were terrified. In spite of the fact they were seasoned sailors, except for two, maybe Matthew and Judas Iscariot. The rest, I think, were fishermen. In spite of that, they were terrified, and so terrified that they had to call on Jesus, and the way they approached him was, "Don't you care that we drown?" At this point, I want to point out this thing. that they met the storm because of their obedience to Jesus. Jesus said, get into the boat. Let's go to the other side, which they obediently did. And that was when they met a storm. Sometimes you and I, when we walk and we are obeying God, we are faithfully reading the word, praying, worshiping Him week after week, and witnessing, and so on and so forth. And we meet with storms in our lives, don't we? Yes, we do. On Friday night, I had a storm myself. Just last Friday night. And the storm was, my denture broke. The upper denture broke clean into half. And it was 8 p.m. at that time. And the next day, Saturday, yesterday, I was supposed to preach. And that to me is a storm. I said, God, how am I going to face a congregation without my teeth? How am I able to make myself understood? Really, it was a storm. And the Lord graciously provided a dentist the following morning, and here I am also on Sunday morning. But for the disciples, the storms came while they were obedient to Jesus. And I'd like to show you two slides about people, what lesson we learned that obeying Jesus. Can we have the slide, please? Forward. Oh, okay. I was thinking of the slide where we have Joni Erickson Tada. Yeah, there you are. You know Joni Erickson Tada. And she was a young, I think in her early teens, she got into a swimming accident and was paralyzed from the neck downwards. She's sitting on a wheelchair and looked at the radiant smile on her face and all the children around her. She was not exempted from suffering, but she never allowed what happened to her to bring her down. She became very useful. I remember an interview where this charismatic television station, the interviewer asked her a question. And he said, Johnny, wouldn't it be good? Have you ever wondered why God never healed you completely so that you can get rid of that wheelchair? Wouldn't it be fantastic and miraculous? And Johnny answered in a way I never forgot that answer. He said to the man, "Is it more miraculous for me to be able to stand and get rid of this wheelchair, or more miraculous for me to be able to still glorify God, be a useful person, impact others, do something useful with what I am sitting on this wheelchair? Which is more miraculous?" And that interviewer became very quiet. He had nothing to say. I'm sure you know the other man. The next slide. Right? Nick? Which is it? He was born without limbs, no hands, no feet. And yet, he was a powerful testimony to many people. I believe he came to Cebu too. What about us? The storms in life that you may have, maybe a broken marriage, maybe family problems, business problems, or problems with your children who are not doing well in school, a problem because you are a caregiver to someone who is very, very sick in her or his old age. Those are storms we meet, right? And what do we do? Do we triumph over those events in our lives? I believe what we are reading this morning, as we think about the disciples sailing through the storms, let us reminded that being Christians, we are not exempted from storms. But God has promised to be with us in a storm. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and He will make us more than conquerors. That's the first part of the lesson. Interestingly, Mark had a very little note here. It says, there were other boats with them. There were other boats with them. And what it means is that the obedience of the disciples was an influence on others. There were other boats that they, during the storm, they met with the storm with them. In our Christian life, our obedience, let us remember, can be a beneficial influence on others around us. Because people looking at us will say, if you can do it, why not me? If you are able to survive, why not me? If you can sing in spite of a storm, why not me? My daughter, the youngest, had cancer about 4 years ago. Since then, she had been joining the cancer run marathon. And the first year when she was cancer-free, she joined the run to raise money for the Cancer Society. And she said that in that run, there were times during the distant run, she felt tired and wanted to give up. Then she saw this little girl in front of her, you know, and she was running and she was also a cancer patient. And in her heart, she said, if that girl can do it, why not me? And she kept on running. Fantastic. So the disciples who were in that boat, Mark says other boats were there with them. What an influence. When you and I go through a storm, let us remind ourselves, God purposefully allowed that storm for His glory, for the benefits of somebody around us. So let's keep that in view. So sailing into the storm, next we see that in this storm, Jesus was sleeping. How do you explain that? There are some people who said, oh, of course He could sleep because Jesus is God. He knew the future and He could sleep. He knew what would happen in a moment. He would be able to still the storm and calm the waves. And He would demonstrate to His disciples His identity, who He really is. You think that was why He could sleep? I doubt that was Mark's intention. Mark tells us in verse 35, on that day, he particularly noted on that day, after that day, in the evening, they got into the boat and that's where they met the storm. And what Mark is trying to tell us that Jesus had such an intense, tough day that humanly speaking, he was so tired, he fell asleep. What we see here, the sleeping Savior, is a demonstration of His humanity. And we must appreciate the humanity of Jesus because it is as important a doctrine to believe that Jesus is fully man as it is important to believe He is fully God. Because He is fully man, He could die for us. If He were not human, how could He die for us, for our sins? God sent Him to fulfill the purpose of dying on our behalf. And so He was asleep, and the disciples woke Him up, and they said to Him what was a natural thing, Master, don't you care that we drown? Interestingly, let us take note of His reaction. If you were Jesus, I know for myself, if I were Him, I would have got up, the first thing was I gave them a good scolding. You know, why you think I don't care? How dare you think of that about me? All this year time I've been spending time with you, and you accuse me of not caring. You know, it hurts. It's painful to hear you say, I don't care. Well, anyway, He didn't do that. He took their problem into His hands and He commanded. You know, the Bible says He rebuked the wind and the waves. What did He say? Hush! The noisy wind. I can just imagine. Just before that, the disciples were shouting at the top of their voices, John telling Peter, Peter, you're so near him, wake him up. And John said, you know, or Peter said to John, why can't you do it yourself? And they were all shouting and saying that we should wake up the master. And one of them, we do not know who, possibly many of them said, don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you care? And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and the waves. The noisy wind, he said, hush, quiet. And to the waves, moving so mightily, frightening the disciples, he said, be still. And immediately, not 1 hour later, not half an hour later, not 15 minutes later, immediately, the wind died. The waves became calm. Can you imagine that? If you were the disciples, you suddenly said, wow, why so quiet? Wow, look at the sea, so calm. And so he woke up, he stilled the storm. But what is very interesting is the question he posed to the disciples. Let's look at the slide. First question is, why are you so afraid? And the second question is, do you still have no faith? The first question is a very interesting question, right? Why is it interesting? Because I ask myself, why are you so afraid? What was Jesus referring to? Was he referring to their fear of the storm? Many of you will say, yeah, they were fearful in a storm. You say, why are you so afraid because of a storm? Well, that's possible. But I believe the question, why are you so afraid, must bear in mind what is in verse 41. Verse 41 said, they were terrified. They were very afraid. Yeah? Let's look at it. Verse 41. They were terrified. Terrified means more than afraid. And they asked each other, who is this? In other words, why are you afraid? Jesus could have been referring to the fear he saw in their faces when after he had calmed the storm, they became very fearful. Why are you afraid? And I can understand, because if I were them, I would be afraid, because, wow, look at his power, his authority. And I just now scolded him, you know. I said, don't you care? Don't you care? I said those words, and oh boy. It's like the story that I heard of this emperor in China who wanted to just find out how the people in the streets were doing. And so he disguised himself, took out his emperor clothes and wore the ordinary clothes of the man in the street and went out to the street. And as he was walking in the crowded street, this man bumped into him. And the man looked at him, stared at him and said, why are you so stupid? You didn't see where you are going? How come you bump into me? You did not even say sorry. You know, later on when that man found out that was the emperor, he go, oh boy, I scolded the emperor. He could have chopped my head off. And he went in front of the emperor and said, oh, please forgive me. I did not mean what I was saying. And it's something like that. They were terrified because they just rudely woke him up and blamed him, accused him of not caring. In fact, I thought to myself, if I were there in the boat with Jesus, I would have jumped out of the boat because I was so afraid of him. He would, you know. But they didn't. There is a reason. If you are familiar with the Greek language, the first word afraid referring to the storm is a different Greek word from the word here afraid in verse 41. In verse 41, the Greek word is phobia. All of you are familiar with the word phobia, right? But the first Greek word is something like lete or something. It's not that, that place in Philippines. But it means fear because you are a coward. You know, when you are a coward, you have fear when you meet somebody who's bigger or even stronger or menacing, right? Because you are a coward, you fear. You know what I mean? The fear that came simply because you are a coward. And that was the first reference to fear. In spite of the fact that they were seasoned fishermen, they were cowards in their hearts. That was the fear. The second fear, phobia, is a reverential fear. That's why they never jump up out of the boat. Normally, if, as I said, if I were them, I would jump out of the boat. Because I don't know who is this guy with me. He has such authority, and I just scolded him and accused him of not caring, you know. But that's the reverential fear. And that's why they were asking, who is this? Who is he? The wind and the waves obeyed him. The two questions of Jesus are very instructive. First question, why are you so afraid? Is something maybe we should ask ourselves today. Are you born again? And why are you afraid? Do you not believe in Jesus who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Then why are you afraid? Do you not, or did you not read in the Bible, which says that we walk by faith and not by sight? You know, when faith comes into the heart of your life, fear goes out the windows of your life. When faith comes into the heart of your life, fear goes out of the windows of your life. Because faith and fear cannot coexist, especially the fear of that kind, where you do not reckon that Jesus is the center of your life. He is also the circumference of your life. He is a hedge around you in your life. And the Lord Jesus is like that. A mighty fortress is our God, a bower never failing. God is our stronghold. God is the rock, a shelter in a time of storm. And we even sing that children's song with Jesus in the and with Jesus with us, we can smile at the storm, right? When we were young, I mean, when my children were young, we taught them, with Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. The issue is Jesus there? We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. For it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And that he who comes to God must believe who He is, diligently seek Him, and know that He is a rewarder of them who seek Him. That is living by faith. The whole of Christian life is a walk of faith. Faith in the one who loves you. You see, the question is not your faith is small. Jesus said, even if your faith is as small as a mustard seed. And last week, if you were here, you saw a picture of what the mustard seed looks like. If your faith be as small as that mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move, and it will be moved. It's not a question of whether your faith is small or big. It's a question of whether your God is big. It's not how big my faith is. It's how big my God is. And God is is what the song say. Who made the mountain? Who made the sea? Who made the river? You know that song, right? And it's God. Somebody bigger than you and me. The chief story and chief lesson of this story, this incident, is faith in God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there is a verse in the Bible. I think it will be Mark, it says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And as a Sunday school boy was given this memory verse and told to write down on a piece of paper, have faith in God. And everybody wrote, have faith in God, took that paper, went home. And this little boy came out of the church and walked along the side road, and a truck passed by. And the truck, the gust of wind, as the truck passed by him, the gust of wind blew the piece of paper he was holding quite lightly in his fingers. And that piece of paper with the words, have faith in God, fell behind the truck. And the boy ran after the truck and says, stop, stop, I've lost my faith in God, stop, stop. He ran after that truck, stop, please, I lost my faith in God. And everybody heard the boy, saw what he was doing, and wondering what happened. How many of us really are like that, We are running and the worst thing is we don't realize that we have lost the faith in God. It might be funny, but we need to check ourselves. I missed one part of my sermon, which I want to do something, and I want to go back and make a comparison of the storm that Jesus and his disciples were in and the storm that Jonah was in. Because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to verse 41, you have a passage that said that the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked for a sign, and Jesus refused to give a sign. He went on to say, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. And if you read that passage, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, later on there's one verse, and a greater than Jonah is here, and that's a reference to Jesus. So that gives me a basis for a comparison between the storm, between Jonah, and the storm in the Jesus experience here with the disciples. First of all, both were prophets. Secondly, both experienced storms. Thirdly, both were sleeping during the storm, Jonah and Jesus. Fourthly, both sailors and the disciples were terrified by the storm. Next, in Jonah, the storm was caused by God, right? Because the Bible says God caused a storm to come. In Jesus' case, the storm was natural and not unusual in the Sea of Galilee. Next one. The storm in Jonah's case was due to the disobedience of the prophet. But the storm in Jesus was in the face of the obedience of the disciples. And there we have this comparison. And in this comparison, we come back to the question of the importance of faith. It will be beautiful if all of us, when we leave this sanctuary, we are determined to exercise the gift of faith. You know it's a gift of faith? Faith is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, for it is the what? The gift of God. So use that gift. You are here because of faith in God who loves you, save you. You are here to worship Him. And that faith that you have that brings you here to worship Him is a gift of God. Use that gift. Remember, if a gift is not used, you are likely to lose it. Yes? What you don't use, you finally will lose it. That's why Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. To him who has and not use it, it will be taken away. We need to leave this place and determine in our heart and mind to exercise faith in God. Next time there is a storm in your life, or you are in a storm now, exercise faith. Okay? May God bless you. I had a storm on Friday night, right? I was wondering how I'm going to speak without my teeth. And when I got my denture back, it was a bit loose. I was fearful that storm will appear during the preaching and the denture comes out. Thank God it never did. Shall we pray? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your presence with us again. And thank you for reminding us so wonderfully through this story, true story of the storm in the life of Jesus and his disciples, and that also of the storm in Jonah's escape from obedience to you. And Father, we are reminded that life is full of trials and tribulations, but you have given us the promise of victory. You did not say that there will be no storm, but you did say we can have triumph and we can have experience of your protection. Give us this kind of faith, Father, no matter how young or old we may be. No matter what we are facing, seemingly impossible problems, maybe of marriage, of job, of life, of our children, whatever, Father, you are the God of the impossible. You are the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the God of the storm. We thank you, God. In you we hide. Thank you, God. You are the rock of the ages, shelter in a time of storm. We commit our lives to you and thank you, Father. May there be a song in our heart because Jesus with us, even in the midst of any storm. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Hope to see you again.
Hello. Shall we all stand? Let's just respond in one last song of worship.
Have a shelter in the storm when troubles pour upon me. Though fears are rising like a flood, my soul can rest securely. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you. My place of peace and solace. No trial is deeper than your love that comforts all my sorrow. Have a shelter in the storm when all my sins accuse me. Though justice charges me with guilt, your grace will not refuse me. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you. Bore my condemnation, I find my refuge in your wounds, for there I find salvation. I have a shelter in the storm when constant winds will break me. For in my weakness I have learned, your strength will not forsake me. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you, the one who bears my burdens, with faithful hands that cannot fail. You'll bring me home to heaven. Oh Jesus, I will hide in you, the one who bears my burdens, with faithful hands that cannot fail. You'll bring me home to heaven.
Yes, Lord. You will bring us home to heaven, Lord, and we will worship you with all that we have and all that we are. Church, the service is now ended. You may now go with the love of the Lord. God bless your week.
Grace unmeasured, vast and free, that knew me from